Those things are all part of being equipped to go forth to do the battle. Because there is a devil arrayed against us. We know the scripture, and Peter said, the devil is like a roaring lion. Like a roaring lion going about seeing whom he may devour. Now, even the devil's not that stupid to think that he's going to go around and see whom he can devour if there's nobody he ever gets to devour. You know, people continue to do things a lot of times because it works. And so the reason why the devil continues to go around looking for those whom he may devour is because once in a while, he gets somebody. He gets somebody. We don't want to be that people. Now we have to ask ourselves, if we're in a battle, have we been to boot camp? Have we been to boot camp? Have we even put ourselves in a place that we have set ourselves in a place of training to go out and do the battle? Have we put ourselves in a place of learning and being equipped? Can we say that, yes, there has been, I've been through an extended period that I've really studied the Word of God. I've set time in prayer. I've paid attention to the things of the Spirit. And I've been through boot camp. I'm ready for the battle. Or have we just kind of come in and kind of coasted along ever since? Only you can answer that. But I'll tell you one thing. When you run up against the battle, you find out whether you've been to boot camp or not. Boot camp is basic training for new recruits. It's basic training. It's, not really getting into the depths of warfare, but it is basic training. But many new recruits want to skip boot camp. And then they go to the battle and then they get disillusioned because they don't get the results that they want, that they're looking for. And the thing is, boot camp is usually pretty hard work. And really, very few people ever want to go through it. In the natural, and I think in the spiritual too. We all say we all come together and get happy around the time of praise and worship, but boot camp spiritually can be very tough as well. In the natural, it is tough. Usually people talk about how much weight they lost going through boot camp because it was so difficult. And sometimes there's an exception to that. I remember a friend of mine, John Dukes in Calgary, he went to the police force training there. He's been there now for many years, over 30 years, I think, in the police force in Calgary. And when he went to boot camp, he was the only person that ever came through there who actually gained weight. And the reason why, he was a lumberjack before he went there. And he did all kinds of hard physical labor. And so when he went there, he was ready for it. But, you know, most of the people, especially spiritually, we're not like that. We've learned a lot of the things of the enemy. We have to throw that out and begin learning things of God. We have to get into boot camp. We have to learn that there are ways to function within the army of God by which we can have great success. William Booth seen that. William Booth seen that when he started the Salvation Army. And he took people under his wing and he dressed them up, he even put uniforms on them. That's why we have uniforms in the Salvation Army. He put uniforms on them and he got them to march around like an army. He seen them as an army of God. And they were to go forth and they were to be very disciplined people. And we need some of that in the church today. We need a disciplined army to go forth and to be able to be prepared to meet the onslaughts of the enemy. Lessons of a boot camp. I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, about some things we can learn in boot camp. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. It is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. So that's one of the things that we have to learn when we come to boot camp, when we come to a time of learning about how to stand against the forces of darkness. We must learn that God is a shield to those who will put their trust in Him. His word is powerful, is pure, and He is a shield. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward." Those are the things that, some of the things we have to understand about boot camp is that God is a shield to us, and there is a reward. He's our reward, and the reward doesn't get any greater than that. God is our reward. He is our shield and our very exceedingly great reward. Now, that's an awesome statement. That's one of the understandings that we must have when we come into the army of God. As a new recruit, we must understand God's word is pure. He is our shield. He is our very great reward. So that means if God is my reward, this is worth dying for. And it's worth living for, too. If God is my shield, he's my very great reward. Another thing we have to make sure that we accomplish is having an understanding of having faith in God. That with God, all things are possible. With God, there is nothing that can be set before us that we can't get over. That's a basic statement of faith. I like the statement, our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we often might win by fearing to attempt. In other words, we fear to attempt it. Doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we often might win. Doubt is a traitor to your faith. When we have doubts rise up against us, rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Rebuke things that come against your faith. Doubt is a traitor. Well, I lived like this for so long, looks like I'll never be delivered. That is a word of doubt. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't allow it to rest in your heart. Doubts are traitors. Traitors. They're not for you, they're against you. Who made that statement? William Shakespeare. Interesting statement from a man who is quite well known. Another area of understanding that we have to come to when it comes to the area of boot camp is that we walk by faith and not by sight. Do you understand that as a people? Do you live your life as a person who is walking by faith and not by sight? Or are the things that you see, do they dictate everything that you do? Now, try to understand this. I've seen people come for their healing. And they've come from the healing and they've only responded to what they could see and didn't receive nothing. Other people responded to what they couldn't see and received everything. We walk by faith and not by sight. The things of the Spirit are what really dictates our lives. And if we'll understand the good, the life that comes from the Spirit, we'll begin to live by the Spirit. Now, what do you mean, Pastor Bill? Well, that means very clearly is that if you're watching something on the television, for instance, and you're really enjoying it, and it intrigues you, and you're saying, boy, this is really great, but on the inside of you, there's a gnawing going on the inside of you saying, this is not right. This is not good at all. This is something that is grieving your spirit. Then we choose whether to pay attention to the things that are gratifying our flesh or pay attention to the thing that's going on in your spirit right now, telling you to shut the thing off and run from it because it's causing you to grieve the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you. We are people who walk by faith and not by sight. Pay attention to the things of the Spirit, because the things of the Spirit will give you life. The things of the flesh will bring you death. Very basic. But it's things that, as recruits, we need to understand. Just like that song we sang, This Day We Fight. Some of the parts of that song says, the battle is not with the things that our eyes can see. It's not. I don't care what battle you go into. It's not the things that your eyes can see that you're fighting. There is a spiritual force behind it. There is a spiritual force behind keeping back the answer to your issue. You remember in the book of Daniel when, I believe it was Gabriel, who went with a message to Daniel. The angel Gabriel went with a message to Daniel from throne of God. And he went down to Daniel. Daniel was praying and fasting for 3 weeks. And when he came through, when the angel finally got through to Daniel, the angel said to him that whenever you prayed, God sent me. For three weeks ago, God sent me. But there was such a battle in the spiritual realm that I couldn't get to you in order to speak forth the message that I have for you. But then he said, Michael, the angel, came and helped me, which enabled Gabriel to come. Now, some of you that have just put your hand up here for wanting an answer, sometimes there's a battle in the spiritual realm that's keeping the answer from you. That's keeping the answer that God wants and has already sent toward you. But there's a battle in the spiritual realm where you have to stand your ground in faith, believing and praying that the answer is coming and on your way. And if Daniel was held up for 3 weeks, I mean, he paid attention through that three-week period. He didn't lose heart, but he kept praying and he kept fasting in that particular time. And the angel broke through and brought him what he needed to know. Well, the tactics are still the same. The devil is still sending those kind of embassies to try to harass us from hearing this, from the Spirit of God. Number three. In lessons of spiritual boot camp, recognize that your weapons are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world. Well, Pastor, I've just got really an injustice done to me. In my job, somebody took an advancement and, you know, it was supposed to be mine, but somebody had took favoritism and I'm going to the union and I want them to complain and I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to get a lawyer and all that kind of thing. Those are natural weapons. I want to do it from a worldly perspective. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not of this world, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So we have to make a choice. Do we go the world's way or do we pray? Do we seek God's direction? Do we take the weapons of our warfare, the weapons that are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds? And a stronghold is something that the enemy sets up many times in our lives to keep us hemmed in so we cannot receive the blessing of God. Our weapons are powerful. Now, we also have to learn how to use those weapons. You know, how many people would join the army? If I joined the army right now and I stepped right up into battle, it wouldn't be smart for a general to give me a bazooka right off the bat. The first thing, I'd probably kill myself with it. And if I didn't kill myself, I'd probably kill somebody else with it. It'd be like Mike's story. He gave a fella a gun. And this works really good in here. Mike, tell that story. Because we need to be able to use the weapons properly that God gives us. Just tell that story about
Pastor
the handgun.
Pastor Bill's right. When you are trained, you take it for advantage that everybody else is trained. And that's a mistake. Especially when you're dealing with guns. This truck driver came in and wanted to see this particular type of handgun that I had. It was a target weapon, very advanced gun. Anyway, I passed the loaded gun to him. It was a semi-automatic gun for target shooting. It had an 11-gram trigger on it. Now, most guns have 4 to 8-pound triggers. So 11 grams is a little different than a 4-pound trigger. So the force to set the thing off is minimal. Anyway, when I passed it to him, he discharged the weapon, and the first shot went in between my arm, my armpit, and then the second one went between my legs, and the third one went by my ear. By that time, I had the weapon back off him again and realized that you never give a gun to a person that's not trained.
Yeah.
Because he can kill you with it. He wasn't meaning to, but he almost killed me. It was my fault. It would have been my fault that I got killed because I was the guy who gave him the gun. Especially a loaded one, especially a high-tech gun. So Pastor Bill's right. When you're not trained in weapons, and anybody who's been trained as police officers in the room here, know that people can get hurt. Even in training, people get hurt. I've seen them get hurt with guns in training. So this process of training is very interesting.
And we can't negate the process of training. We have to do it, people. We have to. We will not survive as Christians without some kind of training. We'll not make any kind of an impact in the world if we're not involved in training. And this is, again, I mentioned the ancient paths. That's part of training. That's a good way to get trained. And the training is so that we can use our weapons properly. How many of us, if we were really honest, when we got saved, came into the kingdom of God, we were so excited about the kingdom of God, how many took the word of God, that weaponry, and slashed people with it rather than use it properly? That we took it and just cut them down. Yeah. I mean, we've done things with it, with this weaponry that was never meant to do. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about diamonds in the rough. And I hope that if you haven't heard that message, go on our website and listen to it again so you'll know what we're talking about when we talk about diamonds in the rough. And I hope some of you have been praying and asking God to show you your diamond in the rough, because you have one. You have more than one, actually, but if you'll see one, you might see two. But a diamond in the rough, we refer to that as somebody that carries great treasure that is extremely valuable. But there's some things about their life that makes them look pretty rough. There's people in the world who are diamonds in the rough, and some of them are your diamonds in the rough. And God is asking you to go after your diamond in the rough. And if you'll take the weapons of our warfare and apply it to reaching those diamonds in the rough, you'll be able to minister to them and pull them out so that they will become, they'll begin to shine with the true treasure that's on the inside of them. I read a wonderful quote this week by Zig Ziglar. He said, "The greatest good we can do for others is not just to share our riches with them, but to reveal theirs." I like that. The greatest thing, one of the greatest things that we can ever do is take a diamond in the rough and to be able to help them, pray with them, work with them, so that what the treasure that they're carrying will begin to be revealed. Say, "I've got a diamond. It's out there waiting for me." I'm telling you, folks, if we'll begin to search for our diamonds, they may be in the rough now, but if we'll search for them, I'm telling you, they will bring the most joy into your life. And you might say, "Pastor, well, I've led a person to Christ before, but, you know, to be honest with you, our personalities, we clash. We clash, so, you know, I can't say that they're necessarily my greatest joy." Yeah, that may be true. I'm not suggesting that we're going to be able, you know, the people even that we're going to reach and speak to and so forth, that we'll be able to embrace them to the point of being real close friends or anything like that. But I want you to know that your reward in heaven is awesome. Your reward, because heaven considers them an awesome diamond. And if we populate heaven with these diamonds in the rough, there is that reward of the evangelist coming to you. But we have a commission, and this is boot camp stuff, folks, that when you come into the kingdom of God, we are commissioned to reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are commissioned to bring others to Jesus. You and I, every single one of us, every one of us. Unfortunately, the gods of this world have taken the gospel and try to whittle it down to the point where it doesn't have any personal connection. So that if our life history is told, we actually think that nobody cares about what we've been delivered from even. But I want you to know, your life is a message. But the religious world doesn't want to hear about deliverance that God has brought. I remember preaching one time in a little Presbyterian church, and it was one of these churches that it was all board run and demon possessed, I'll say, along with it, because the life of the Spirit in there was zilch. And so I decided that I was just going to give my testimony. I was going to teach a little bit, but I was going to give my testimony. So I told him a little bit. This is really not long after I got saved, but I knew enough to know that there wasn't much there. And I really knew, and I was tired of telling them what God did for me. And on the way out, this one of these old members, I shouldn't say old, it might have been my age. But he said to me, next time you talk, keep your stories about yourself to yourself. Didn't want to hear that God's delivering power still delivers today. Because as soon as we recognize that God's power is real and God's still, his delivering power is still available, then as soon as we recognize that, if we're honest, we have to do something about me. We can't put it all out in the other fella. We have to do something about me. That if I've got bitterness, brokenness, unforgiveness in my heart, I've got to do something about me. Because God is in the delivering power. He delivers people from unforgiveness. God is still doing it today. Praise the Lord Jesus. And God wants you walking in total freedom so that you'll be able to get out there and find your diamonds. Go into your minefield this week and dig and dig and dig. Sometimes you might have to dig a long time, but sooner or later you'll hit a gusher. You'll hit something that will just blow you away. You'll find that there are people who want what you've got. People are out there and they want what you have. The world has put a lid on the church. They make the church think that the people out there don't want what we've got. But I want you to know there are people out there that have no hope. They need the hope that you carry, and you're the only one that can impart it to them. So be encouraged and go out there. Be convinced that they want to hear the message. They wanted to hear it. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Well, stand up with me, please. Praise the name of Jesus. Now I want to say this. There is a minefield even within this fellowship. And one of the greatest minefields that you could ever tap into is a Sunday school. Oh, Pastor. You're looking for a Sunday school teacher. I'm asking somebody to wake up to the fact that there's diamonds sitting all around you, that you can have the possibility of calling your own, having an awesome influence upon. God is calling you. I'm convinced there's somebody here. God is calling you, that you've been dabbling about it, you've been thinking about it, but you haven't stepped up to it yet. And God has given you an opportunity. Take your place and receive the reward of being a prospector who goes out and digs in the mine. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your grace upon your word today. I'm asking, dear God, that even as we go forth, Lord, that you'll reveal to us the diamonds.